It always, well, I should say, it amazes me how awesome our Heavenly Father is, how much He loves us. Can anyone want to guess after the Sunday school lesson what the message will be on this morning? Love, yeah. Isn't that neat the way God works? Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've gathered this morning to worship You, to lift You up, to honor You, to bring You praise. And we thank You for Your presence here this morning. We ask that You would just speak to each of us on an individual level this morning, that You would speak personally to each one of us. It has nothing to do about us this morning, Father. It's all about You. And so we give You all the honor and the glory for what You do this morning. In Your name we pray, amen. Is anybody like me? It's kind of hard to believe it's already 2019. It's another new year, and I had to think this week of what we often do at a new year. I don't know if anyone, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of us might make a New Year's resolution. And I looked at some stats, and I think it said like 44% of Americans do that, and of that, I don't want to discourage anybody if you've done that, but of that, 8% actually carry through, which I thought that's pretty good for a whole year. But that would mean that out of a group this size, maybe one person would make it through the year if they had a new. So I don't want that to discourage you, because with God's help, I think all of you could do it if you have some. But I had to think about what we make New Year's resolutions about. I think some of the biggest two were, I want to lose weight, or maybe I want to be a nicer person. But there's all kinds of things that we want to improve about ourselves. Maybe you want to do a little better at your finances. Maybe you want to volunteer more this year. Maybe you want to get out of debt. Maybe you want to eat better. Maybe you need to be a little better organized. You want to do a better job at that this year. There's all kinds of things that we think about when we think about New Year's resolutions. But why do we do that? Do you ever think about that? Why do we do that at the beginning of the year? And I think one of the things is the old year is gone now. It's a new year. It's a fresh start. We can start over again. It's a new beginning for us. And so we make these resolutions, and we want to try to follow and try to improve upon our lives. But I think as Christians, it's also a good time to reevaluate where we're at in our relationship with the Lord. And some questions I wrote down to help us do that is, number one is, what's important to you in life right now? Think about that a little bit. What's important to you? What does God think about where you're headed? What does God think about where you're headed right now? And thirdly, what would God want you to be doing different in your life this year? And as I thought about that, what's important in life? There was a teacher of the law that asked Jesus that very question. And if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to look at Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. What's important to life? The teacher asks, what's the greatest commandment? I don't know, who has that? Go ahead and read that, Colleen. Let's listen to the scripture.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as well as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices? When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Jesus responded to this teacher with two things, two answers. The first one is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And we see that the teacher of the law thought that Jesus gave a good answer, didn't he? And what Jesus is referring to here is what is, to the Jewish people, is known as the Shema. And it's a very familiar scripture to them. And Jesus is trying to focus our attention on who with that first answer? On our Heavenly Father. We need to have a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's look at the scripture from Deuteronomy where Jesus is quoting. And I want to talk a little bit about how the Jewish people honored what Jesus was asking them to do. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, someone has that, you can read it. We're going to go right back to Mark then.
"Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates."
Jesus was talking about something that was very familiar to his audience here. The Shema was something that they literally followed what it said in Deuteronomy. When they got up in the morning, they would stand and recite that scripture. When they went to bed at night, they didn't stand, they would recline. Because that's what scripture says, doesn't it? They would recline and recite that scripture. They would make these little boxes called phylacteries, and they would write the scripture on a piece of paper, put it in this little box, and they'd have leather cords on that box. They would tie it, I'm not sure why, I didn't do a lot of research, they would tie it on their left arm, but they'd also would tie it on their forehead. And I had to think about that. I would think, boy, that, if I wasn't Jewish, I think that would be pretty silly if I saw Dave walking around with a little box tied to his forehead. But I had to think about that. That would probably remind me if I knew it's there, but it would also remind me if I looked at a brother who had that on their head. So they were constantly being reminded of this box. And I think Orthodox Jews would still do that, especially at times of prayer. They would still tie that to their head. They would also have what was called a mezuzah. It would be another little box, and they would write it down, put it in the box, and they would nail that on their doorpost. And so every time you'd walk through your door, in and out, you'd see that little box there, and it would remind you about God. It would remind them of this scripture that they would recite. So what Jesus was saying was very familiar. And I think the teacher was very pleased with his answer because it's something that he could relate to. But as we look at that scripture, we look at it in a whole different light than what the Jewish people did. Because we've known what Jesus has done for us when he died on the cross. What Jesus is telling us in this scripture is that God needs to be the most important thing in my life. He needs to be the most important thing in your life. And it's interesting where it says that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now the Jewish people wouldn't understand this quite as much as we do. But we have God the Father. We have, and this is hard to understand, but we believe it in faith. We have God the Son, Jesus Christ, was God in the flesh who came down to this earth to be an example for us and to die on the cross to cover over our sins. And we have God, the Holy Spirit, who's with us here this morning, who's our teacher, our comforter. He does a lot for us and ministers to us. And so all these things are one. God's residing in our hearts. And the key to having a relationship with our Heavenly Father is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, we know this scripture, very familiar, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way to our Heavenly Father except through Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to proclaim that and let others know. There's a lot of people today, I think, that are compromising and say, well, God can speak in a lot of different ways, and He can. But the only way to our Heavenly Father is through Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 5:17. When we talk about Jesus' blood covering over our sins, His shed blood covers over our sins, that scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old, what's happened to the old? Does it say it's still there? The old is gone. It's gone. And the new has come. So when we ask Christ into our hearts, something has to leave and something has to come in. And for me, I think that's a continuing process. There's things that God wants to deal with us that have to go, and something has to come in to take their place then. The new year is a great time to make a new start. It's a great time to make a commitment to Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart if you haven't done that. As I thought about this, I went back to, some of you have gone through a program that's called Cleansing Streams. It's kind of interesting because we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three parts. There's three parts that make us up. Review here. Can someone tell me what they are? Mind, soul, and body. We have this body that's temporary. Sometimes when I think of New Year's resolutions, a lot of them are focused on this body that God gave us. But God created each of us a different body. We all look differently, and He has a purpose for each one of us. One of the things the youth looked at on Wednesday night was that we are fearfully and wonderfully made from Psalms. God made each of us in a very special way. I wanted to talk about the three parts that we learned in Cleansing Stream. We went over the body that houses our spirit and our soul. Okay, the spirit is a part of Jesus Christ, part of God that resides in us. Isn't that an awesome thing? Every time I think about that and say it, I just think it's awesome that a piece of God resides in each of us to help us and guide us. But the spirit is at war with our soul a lot of times. Our soul is made up of three things: mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay, so when we're looking at how we're doing, how's God working in our hearts? Let's look at our mind first. What do I think of during the week? What are my thoughts based on? Do I think of God throughout the week? Do I spend time praying to Him? It's important. Even sometimes at work when you're really busy, I know you get caught up, but throughout the day, spend time talking to the Lord. I spent a lot of time praying for a young lady this week. And, you know, God gives us times to do that, but our minds need to be focused on our Heavenly Father. Our will deals with what kind of choices are we making. Do I make choices every day that honor God? And sometimes I mess up, and I have to say probably no. But God wants us to be striving so that our choices are honoring to Him. when we make a choice? Do we ask God, well, what should I do? Sometime at work you get so busy, you're just making choices all the time, but God wants to be involved in that. Even in simple little things. I've even heard someone say, when you go to the grocery store, well, ask God what to buy. And there's a little truth to that, because maybe God wants to buy you something that you don't need, but someone else needs, and he wants you to give it to later on. We never know, but we need to be thinking about God and making choices that are based on what God desires for us. And the last one is emotions. And I think this carries us into the second thing that Jesus was talking about in the scripture in Mark. How do you feel about others that are in your life? When you make a comment or talk to someone, is it what you're desiring for that person or what God desires? One of the things I had a youth do on Wednesday, I said, think of someone that just really annoys you at school. And I said, well, just because we have some homeschoolers, make sure it's not the teacher. But I think we all can relate to that. There's someone at work that you work with, maybe it's a neighbor or someone in your life that might just really annoy you. How do you feel about that person? Are your feelings based on what you think or what God desires for that person? That's a challenge for all of us. Did you ever think about that? The second thing that Jesus said in Mark, five simple words, I think. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't love myself. Well, do you brush your teeth every morning? Do you feed yourself? Do you take a shower at least once a week? We just the things we do for ourselves, we do love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. A lot of our thoughts deal with me. And so what Jesus is saying, we need to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus goes a little bit farther in the book of Luke, because this teacher asked him, well, who's my neighbor? And you know the story, very familiar, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan and the Jewish person the Samaritan ministered to the Jewish person, and they don't like each other. So do you get what Jesus is saying there? But it made me think a little bit. I thought about this last week. I'm going to preface this with explaining what happened last Sunday, because not all of you were here last Sunday, but we had a guest minister, Baptist preacher from Michigan. And he told a story. I think this is the second time he told it. But he told a story of a man in his congregation he was talking to after the service. And he said to him, I really like that coat. That's a really nice coat you have. And this man sized him up and down a little bit and said, well, it looks like it's your size, and took the coat off and gave it to him. And this is Michigan, and he left, went out to his car in the cold weather without a coat. But after the service, we were getting ready to leave, and I put my coat on, and someone came up to me and said, I'm not going to mention any names. I promised Emily I won't say her husband's name, but someone came up to me and said, that's a really nice coat. And the sharp person I am, I started thinking, well, I just got this coat, and it is pretty nice. I really like it. It's a pretty cool coat. It's only the third or fourth time I might have wore it. And I'm thinking, this is a nice coat, and that's a nice compliment, and then it hit me. He's saying he wants me to give him my coat that I treasure. And so I start unzipping it, but in my heart, I'm thinking, I don't really want to give this coat away. If Will would have really, I didn't mean to say your name. If Emily's husband would have really needed it, I would have probably given it. But I even thought that, well, maybe I should wear my old grungy coat this morning in case somebody says that. I can give it to him freely. But I thought about that this week. How often do we not really love others the way Jesus wants us to? I had to think it's easy. It's easy if someone's in need, if you pass somebody in the street, to give them money, isn't it, if they're hungry? But how much more time it takes to invite them to a diner and feed them. It takes our time to love others the way Jesus wants us to. Something I think all of us could probably work on. We need to love those people we interact with in life, who we see maybe on a daily basis or occasionally. And especially we need to love those that we just can't stand, to put it the way it is sometimes in our hearts. That's the challenge that Jesus is giving in this scripture when he says that we should love others as ourselves. And so, to conclude this morning, as I thought about this whole train of thought, I think the Holy Spirit was putting in my brain and processing it. I think we can all agree that having a relationship with God is the most important thing that we can do in our life. Not just knowing who God is, but having a relationship with Him. There's a difference there. And so if you've never done that, we'll give you a chance to do that this morning, if you'd like to do that. But the other thing that God is saying, that Jesus is saying in this scripture, is that loving others, putting others before us, and sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. But God wants us to minister to others. And then we get back to what's most important to God again. What's most important to God is that He has a relationship with each one of us. And so do you see where I'm going here? That's the most important thing. We know that. And God's telling us we need to love others and get involved in other people's lives. And so we need to tell others about Jesus. We need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? We need to be growing the kingdom for our Heavenly Father. And our goal isn't to grow New Beginnings. Our goal is to grow the kingdom. So we don't care where people go to church. If they have a good relationship with Jesus Christ and their Heavenly Father, that's what we desire. We want them to be fellowshipping with a body somewhere so that they can encourage others and be encouraged. But those are the things that God's asking us to do. And so we're going to close. You can cut me off and get the...